everybody, and again, and welcome to the next episode of the podcast. As always, it is your guy, Billy Rye, joined alongside the man always writing checks. His name is Big Tex. Big Tex, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm using a different type of mic, so hopefully I'm not coming through any type of way. My little puppy, Snickers, decided he was going to eat my headset, so yay!
Oh, no. Well, you sound good from my end. It is Thursday, September 6th. It is the first day of the regular season of football in the NFL 2018. We are excited to be bringing this show to you today. Got some things that we want to talk about, so we're going to think we should go ahead and dive right into it. Again, NFL season starts today, but last weekend, we had some NCAA football opening weekend of college football. Big Tex, I know you haven't been able to pay a whole lot of attention to college football lately, or the last couple of years maybe, but did you get a chance to look at any college football over the weekend?
Yeah, I got to squeeze in a little bit of a couple of games. As you know, I own a cheerleading gym, so on Saturdays I do open gym, and I'm not able to sit and watch a lot of football. So I caught a little bit of a few different games. I'm trying to think of which ones actually stood out to me. The Clemson game, the quarterback, the backup, Lawson, I think his name is.
I think you're looking for Trevor Lawrence. That's it.
Lawrence, yep. There it is. Lawrence, yeah. That kid is fire. Be careful.
Yeah, there's a lot of Clemson fans are looking forward to what he's going to bring to the table. They want him to be starting over Kelly Bryant anyway. Again, Clemson winning over Furman 48-7 last Saturday.
Right.
I'll tell you,
right.
There was some really good football last weekend.
But you know what? One other thing though, not only was there a lot of good football, but there was a lot of bad weather too, man.
It was a lot of
games that got held, you know, and delayed, especially like my Texas Longhorns up there playing against Maryland. They looked like they were storming back, but then all of a sudden that storm hit, and it just seemed like when everybody came back, they were sluggish. So, but yeah, anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah, you mentioned there was some poor weather. Iowa State's game was postponed. As a result, Iowa State will be in our podcast pick'em towards the end of our show. But I tell you what, there was some eyebrow raisers, including Michigan State almost losing to Utah State, having to take it to just about the wire there. Florida Atlantic, who, again, we'll get into this a little more in the pick'em, but Florida Atlantic getting throttled by Oklahoma, people expecting.
Yeah, they got shellacked.
Yeah, expecting to see Lane Kiffin come and do something, and it's obviously too early. My Gamecocks beating Coastal, getting back in to the AP Top 25 this week. Super happy about that. The one shocker to me, was Penn State versus App State. Penn State and App State went to overtime. Penn State avoided the upset. But I tell you what, I want to say it was something like 11, 12 years prior was App State's upset win over Michigan. And they almost did it again, man. 45-38 was the final there. And then you had your primetime games, Auburn-Washington, top 10 matchup. Auburn takes the win over the Huskies. You've got Alabama and Louisville was your night game.
Oh, jeez.
You're up at Louisville over Alabama. Didn't work out for you. 51-14, Alabama wins. Then again, we had some Sunday night and Monday night football in college where we got to see a couple of shockers. A lot of people expected Miami beat LSU. All the experts are picking them. LSU wins big over Miami, even though Miami tried to come back. Late in that game, LSU won 33-17. And then in the big shocker on Monday night, Florida State essentially just throttled by Virginia Tech. The score doesn't look like it, but Virginia Tech dominated that game.
You don't have to score a lot of points. You don't have to score a lot of points. You don't have to blow anybody out for you to manhandle someone else. It just there's a bunch of different things that like efficiency things that can prevent you from scoring a lot of points. But if your efficiency isn't as strong on offense, but your defense is playing stellar all game, you could look like you're running all over somebody and still only have, you know, moved the ball 200 yards through the air and maybe 50 or, you know, 40 or 50 yards on the ground. But the way that you manage the game is what makes it look so strong.
Well, if, speaking of that, if you look at the quick stat line, Josh Jackson, the quarterback for Virginia Tech, he only threw for 207 yards and two touchdowns. But if you look at the other side of it, DeAndre Francois from Florida State threw for 233 yards, but he threw three interceptions. So you talk about efficiency, that's I think, right there a prime example of Virginia Tech being able to maintain possession and not turn the ball over. Yep. Florida State struggled with that.
And, you know, it's funny. Look at that, though. Just like you said just now, look at that. If those three interceptions would have been three touchdowns, the game would have been completely different.
Yep.
But see, the efficiency, just like we said, the efficiency is what kills you. Yep.
Oh, yeah. So we had some exciting first weekend of college football. We're going to pick a few games, like I said, at the end of the show.
Yeah.
In our podcast. Pick 'em.
And I enjoyed watching, too. I enjoyed watching. I feel bad for everyone that actually is listening, you know. Found out that one of my dads from the gym is listening now, which is real cool. Shout out to my Mr. Walker. I'm just going to say that. It's just been so awesome, man. It's been so awesome to be able to do this. So hopefully with, you know, the more that we're watching and the more that we're doing and everything, hopefully everything will get stronger as we go.
I second that, and thank you for listening wherever you were listening. You can always follow us on social media at BRBT Podcast on Twitter, and then send your questions or comments to brbtpodcast@gmail.com.
And whatever you're doing right now, Frick, don't move, because you sound perfectly clear right now.
Perfect. That's what I like to hear. So,
stay right there, however awkward you may be sitting.
Don't move. Perfect. You made a couple of you made at least one person upset last week, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But in the Fricks Fantasy League draft breakdown, you ranked Aaron Thompson number 10, and I am just going to say that he was very dissatisfied with your rank. So
I'm sure.
Take it with a grain of salt. These are our opinions. So it's, you gotta, again, take it with a grain of salt.
I'll say this, though. At the end of the season, when it's all said and done, then you'll know who's right. Not saying that he's right, not saying that I'm right. But at the end of the season, you'll know who's right.
Yep.
There it is. Right. I mean, if I made you upset, that means you're listening. I'm okay with that.
Hey, that's right. That's right. So we got a couple of things in the NFL to talk about with the NFL season starting tonight. We are going to, first of all, get into a couple of topics that need to be talked about. We're going to go through our divisions. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but we are going to do our division predictor, division winner predictions between the AFC and the NFC, and then we're going to, I guess, make our Super Bowl picks by the end of the show. And then again, we will run our segment called Fast Count, where we make our podcast picks, where we're going to choose some games in the NFL and college, pick our winners, and then we've got a special edition of what we are going to call the finisher, which will be the close of our show going forward. So getting right into it, the first thing we wanted to discuss today was the running back situation in San Francisco. Jerick McKinnon was coined as the starter. He was signed from Minnesota in the offseason. He was going very high in fantasy football drafts. He was injured early in the preseason. As he began practicing again, we all got word that he had to be helped off the field. And now it appears he has a torn ACL. He will miss the entire 2018 season. Matt Breida was named the starting running back in San Francisco, I believe, yesterday or the day before. Big Tex, what you got? What's your thoughts on this situation in San Francisco?
I hate the fact that injury is what made it happen. But and I feel like that I feel like that the only words that I can say is I told y'all that this was not going to work out. And I hate it that it was an injury, especially non-contact. That's crappy. If he would have been, you know, getting tackled and got rolled up on the wrong way or something like that. I know injuries don't have a, you know, there's never a good time for them, but I wish that it would have been a contact injury, so then it wouldn't have been such a blow, I guess, if that makes sense.
It seems like he's been dealing with soft, and Stefania Bell coins the term soft tissue injuries. He seems like he always has some sort of sprain or strain or pull every single year.
You're right.
And I feel like it finally culminated in the tearing of his ACL, late last week, early this week.
To be quite honest, man, and I hate the fact that the 49ers paid the money that they paid. I hate the fact that they got so caught up in the belief that this man will be able to come in and change their offense in such a way after the constant years of showing that he is not that guy. And I think that it's the workload. I think that him being in the number one position, him being in the number one position on that team, it made him have to take more reps. It made him have to be exposed to more. And I think that that is what it was. I don't think that his body can hold up to that. And that's the reason why I said what I said at the beginning. My heartfelt, I'm really sorry that the man tore his ACL. But he still got paid, though. And you know he's going to get the best doctors. And you know that it's early. And you know that he'll be able to return next season and step right into the role that they think that he'll be able to fill. But then you have to worry about how is he going to be the year after an ACL tear? So golly.
And I think it gets brought up a lot that when you have a player who has an injury like this, the best thing for them is when it happens early, because he's got the entire regular season to prepare. He's got the entire regular season to heal. He can jump into rehab a lot quicker than someone, let's say, that would tear their ACL in week 11 or 12. So he's got, if it were to happen, it works out for him that it happened early rather than later. I feel terrible that it happened, because it wasn't just speaking for the fantasy football players who were counting on him to be a contributor to them. It's much more of a upsetting situation for him as a person and as a player in the NFL. So speedy recovery for Jerick McKinnon. What do you think this means? Like I said, I mentioned a minute ago, they named Matt Breida the starting running back over Alfred Morris. What do you think happens with this running back tandem in San Francisco? Do you think that they're going to ride these guys through the season? Do you see them maybe trying to go after, say, a Jamaal Charles, who worked out with Washington before Washington signed Adrian Peterson? Do you see them going after any potential trades to bring in another running back?
I think they already have the running back that they want. I do believe that they'll probably sign a running back. And I think that they'll probably sign like one more, just, you know, pad the offense. I'm sorry. But at this point, they already have the running back that should be the lead back for their offense. And that man is Alfred Morris, not Matt Breida.
Yep.
The one thing that a lot of people are looking into is the fact that, and they're over there playing with their chicken toy. I'm sorry. The dogs in the background are acting crazy.
We can't hear it, so that's
okay. That's cool. That means the mic is doing its job.
Yes, sir.
But with Matt Breida last year, everyone was, oh my God, Carlos Hyde. Oh my God, Carlos Hyde. Drop this man. Drop him. Trade him away. He's not good enough. He's blah, 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 blah. Matt Breida is the man. Matt Breida needs to be the man. What did Matt Breida do all last season? He sat behind Carlos Hyde, and he got hurt. And he sat behind Carlos Hyde. Matt Breida is not the man that they are looking for. Alfred Morris has already shown success in this system. He's already shown he had 1,600 yards when he was in this system, and he was the lead back. And every team that he's played for since then, he's been a backup. So his legs are still fresh. He's going to be solid. And the one thing about him is that Alfred Morris is not a man that gets hurt that often either.
Yeah, I don't know. And you've got to think, you've got a third string running back from Purdue who's a 4-year player. Raheem, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's Mostert.
Oh, they have Raheem Mostert. Yeah, man. Yeah. That kid is fast, yo. That kid is real fast.
Depending on what kind of injuries that we see from San Francisco going forward, it'll just be interesting to see how that running back backfield pans out throughout the entire season.
I think that Breida will start, to answer your question, because I know I kind of ran off on a tangent. I think Breida will start. But I think Alfred Morris will lead in touches. And what's going to happen is that Alfred Morris is going to slowly but surely just weed Matt Breida back into that third down back role. And Alfred Morris is going to be first and second down. But you also know Alfred Morris can catch too. So Matt Breida might mess around and just watch his workload diminish.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays off going forward. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we are going to tackle the Le'Veon Bell situation. So stick around. We will be right back.
All
right. Everyone to the BRBT podcast. It's your guy, Bully Rye, alongside again, Big Tex. We are going to dive into this Le'Veon Bell situation. So I'm sure if you've been following NFL news, Le'Veon Bell has not reported to practice for the Steelers. There are reports coming out that the head coach, Mike Tomlin, has still not heard from him. His agent has alluded to the fact that he is going to do whatever it takes to make sure the longevity of his career is satisfied and is secured. So we are looking at a combination of the majority of James Conner, the rookie, I believe, from Penn State. I could be wrong. I will check that in a minute. He looks to get the start on Sunday. Pittsburgh, not Penn State. I was close. he looks to get the start, being backed up by Stephen Ridley, former New England Patriot, and Jalen Samuels, the rookie out of North Carolina. Big Tex, I know you got some strong feelings about Le'Veon Bell in this situation, so why don't you give us your hot tag, our version of the hot take, on how you feel about the Le'Veon Bell situation.
Okay. I'm as a number one draft position picker this year, I've done it
in
twice.
In fantasy football. Yep.
In fantasy football. I've done it twice this year. In both instances, I chose I've done it three times. I chose Le'Veon Bell twice and Todd Gurley once. The reason why I chose Le'Veon Bell is because Le'Veon Bell is literally a superstar. He will make any running back or any offensive line look good that he's behind. He is on the level of a Barry Sanders to me because of how well he navigates the field. Barry Sanders had the worst offensive line in football, but was able to make multiple people miss and make that O-line look great. James Conner is benefiting from a good O-line, but James Conner has not had to use a workload like Le'Veon Bell has. Le'Veon Bell gets tackled nice. And when I say nice, whenever you watch him go to the ground, he never looks like he's in an awkward position. He understands how to take hits. He understands how to let the hits happen. He never gets twisted up, rolled up on, or anything like that. Whenever he gets the ball, his decision-making is so precise. He literally gets the ball and stands still, looks at the entire offense, and makes a decision, and he's moving. It baffles me at the fact that there are so many people that are so upset with Le'Veon Bell right now. And I'm one of those that is also included in that. My reason, if I use a first round pick on you, I expect you to be there. However, I completely understand where he has completely outperformed all that he has been asked to do. All of it. He has been a better runner and a better catcher than 90%. I would say 99.9% or 99.8% 8%, because I'll say David Johnson and Todd Gurley, though, the only two other people up there in that conversation. But 99.8% of the time, he is the number one guy. And he is not getting paid. He's not given respect or anything. Yeah, he screwed up. He was caught up in the drugs. Yeah, he's been suspended for stuff. Yeah, okay. There's been a bunch of people that have been suspended for a bunch of different things. But all of them are still getting paid.
As much with the one exception,
it's just crazy.
The one exception, Martavis Bryant, because he's been released by the Raiders after he's facing an entire 1 year suspension for marijuana.
But
so
we knew that Martavis Bryant was not. We knew that he was not going to play this year.
Well, like, he's also not Le'Veon Bell, and
he's not Le'Veon Bell, and Le'Veon Bell has not had any other situations since that.
So,
and nobody is doing the same thing to LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount is getting paid all over the place.
I do want to interject. Yeah, I do want to interject because I definitely second your sentiment from a fantasy football perspective. If you are using a first round pick on any player, you, again, from a fantasy football perspective, expect them to be there to contribute for you.
Yes.
Now you have some situations like I had last year where you have your first round pick get injured and he's out for the entire season. That's one thing. Fantasy football is an entirely different situation from actual football in the NFL. And we have to make sure we separate ourselves from one perspective to another. From a fantasy football perspective, it is entirely frustrating to me that Le'Veon Bell has not shown up to practice, has not signed his tender, whatever the case may be.
He's literally a bust until he gets on the field.
Well, from a football standpoint and from a number standpoint, when you look at guys like Todd Gurley, who just got a 4-year, $60 million deal that includes $45 million in guarantees, you see a Khalil Mack who held out from the Raiders, was finally just traded. We talked about him in our last show. Traded to the Bears, and the Bears just signed him on a monster extension that made him the highest paid defensive player in history. There was another guy that had just gotten that same title. So you see all these guys who are showing up, producing on the field, and are getting paid deservingly so. But for whatever reason, Pittsburgh has not felt the need to sign Le'Veon Bell to a long-term deal. Now, again, you have guys that have stuck around the Steelers, like Hines Ward, who would rather retire than to get sent to another team. I think at this point, the bridge between Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers have been burned. Le'Veon Bell has asked for a new contract for the last 2 or 3 years. They tagged him last year. They tried to tag him again this year. Le'Veon Bell wants to get paid for what Le'Veon Bell has produced and will continue to produce. So, unfortunately for the Steelers, I don't see Le'Veon Bell playing another down for Pittsburgh in his career. Now, that could be completely wrong, and he can come in week 10, sign his tender, cost himself millions of dollars for not playing the first, whatever, 9-8 games, however long he decides to sit out, because I'm sure he's got money put aside now. But I have this feeling that Le'Veon Bell is going to be the second situation like Khalil Mack that we've seen in the NFL this year.
I think that, and to be honest with you, I would much rather it happen now. Like, right now, the teams that need running backs, those need to be the ones that are looking out and going, Le'Veon Bell is on the mark. Le'Veon Bell will go somewhere that will sign him. He will go somewhere. He will walk right in.
Where he would fit in, though, because Miami is expecting Kenyon Drake, and I know Frank Gore is super old, but they were co-starters on that team.
I can tell you where he'll go.
Go ahead, tell me where you think he'll go.
I mean, let's think about the backfields and think about who needs a stellar running back. He could go to Seattle. He could go to San Francisco.
Before you go to more teams, I just want to argue against both of them. Because the last 2 years, Seattle has signed running backs early because they felt very highly of these guys, Chris Carson and Rashad Penny. I know we haven't seen it yet, But they're expecting these guys to be their running backs. They're not going to have to go and pay a Le'Veon Bell millions of dollars. And we already talked about San Francisco. First of all, Le'Veon Bell doesn't want 1 year.
I'm mad that you just decided to say that you think that these guys are so excited about these early draft picks. They are not Le'Veon Bell. They're not Le'Veon Bell. Like you can't, these kids cannot hold a candle to him. They can't.
Listen, and I'm not disagreeing with that point, but they've put the time and effort into training and developing, and now Rashad Penny's a rookie, and Chris Carson had an accident or an injury last year that kept him off the field for as much as they would have liked to have seen. But my point is, from Seattle's standpoint, they expect these guys that they've drafted to stick around for a while, where they don't have to go and spend big money on a Le'Veon Bell. When it comes to San Francisco, we've already talked about it earlier in the show. They signed Jerick McKinnon to this deal where he got paid. Yeah, he's going to miss this year, but he'll be back next year. So why, and Le'Veon Bell on top of it, Le'Veon Bell doesn't want a short-term contract. Otherwise, he would have signed the franchise tender in Pittsburgh, and he'd be on the field right now.
But do you think that if anybody trades for him, that they won't give him a long-time contract?
These teams
out here are willing to pay him. They are. They just need to know that he's on the market, and the Steelers do not want to let him go. They want him to conform and just get in line, and he's not going to do that.
Well, and that's why I said I don't think he'll wind up in a team like Seattle or San Francisco. So I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I get you.
But it'll be interesting to see how this plays off, because I'd like to see a team who is in dire need of a running back maybe go and sign a Le'Veon Bell to turn around and extend his contract. But off the top of my head, especially this close to the NFL season, I could see the Cleveland Browns, but they also just drafted Nick Chubb.
What for, though? That's a crowded backfield.
If Le'Veon Bell went there,
he would nullify Duke Johnson.
Well, and they wouldn't. I don't think Pittsburgh would be willing to trade in the division either.
No. He would go to the NFC probably.
Yeah. So I think. NFC team. I think the main point that I want to make about Le'Veon Bell is that there are people who are frustrated with the fact that he makes millions of dollars and he's deciding to sit down and not do his job because he wants to be making more than the millions of dollars that he's making. And I think that's an unfair assessment. Shout out to my buddy John, because John and I texted about it back and forth. He's in my fantasy league. We talked about his draft last two shows ago, whatever the case it was. But he made the comment that, I wish that I could, be upset about the money that I'm making in my job and just not go to work. And though I understand the sentiment behind it, it's not feasible to understand that our jobs are probably a lot less physically straining than that of an NFL running back. Everybody that wants to argue that, he needs to show up and play, he needs to show up on the field and play.
But that's not their body on the line.
I don't think they're taking into consideration. They want to say, well, they're just playing a game for a living. Well, this game, we've seen the toll this game has taken on players with head injuries, with leg injuries. Marcus Lattimore, a prime example of a guy who could have been, and two bad knee injuries, and he's now, working back.
That makes two running backs that have gone to the 49ers that have been highly touted by them, where they were like, this is our guy, and both of them have been injured.
Well, it's like I said, in regards to the money situation from Le'Veon Bell, I understand it. If guys like Todd Gurley are getting paid, and I would put Todd Gurley in an equal playing field as Le'Veon Bell, and Pittsburgh wants to be stubborn about signing him. I mean, they're a couple years away from not having Ben Roethlisberger on their team.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell will be gone. What kind of threat are you going to have? Again, we saw James Conner somewhat impressive in the preseason, but we haven't seen him during a regular season game, taking on those carries that they're trying to feed Le'Veon Bell.
Or facing an entire first-team defense.
Yeah, so when you don't have when you don't have a Le'Veon Bell and a Ben Roethlisberger and all you have on the team is an Antonio Brown, and if you want to throw him in there, a Juju Smith-Schuster, then it's going to nullify Antonio Brown's fantasy value from that perspective, or his ability to perform on the field. So, again, very interesting to see what happens and what plays out with this Le'Veon Bell situation.
And then here's the other thing. I don't know what you're saying. Teams are not – I hate to say this, and this is not any disrespect towards Connor, but not any team is going to spend more than 5 minutes trying to strategize against James Connor. They are going to try their best to shut down A.B. and Juju and probably James Washington. I think it's James Washington. But they're going to probably try to shut down those three people and make it so that the only thing that they can do is hand the ball to James Conner. And they're going to stack that box and shut him down. If Le'Veon Bell does not come back, the Steelers' offense is going to look like a husk of itself.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see how – be interesting to see how it plays out, which is going to lead us into our next portion of the show. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we are going to dive into our NFL predictions for this season. We are going to pick our winners of each division, and then we are going to go farther and decide who we think will be the representatives in the Super Bowl. And then to close up our show, we are going to do our podcast pick 'em, i.e. our hot tags. I believe I might have already got that segment name wrong. Big time.
Apologize. It's all good, brother.
Count. We're going to go through our fast count, choose our winners and losers for this weekend. So stick around, and we're going to be right back.
Yep, we'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody, to the BRBT Podcast. Follow us on social media at BRBT Podcast on Twitter. Send us an email with any questions or comments, brbtpodcast@gmail.com. Bully Ryan Big Tex. I know I have gotten our segment names wrong a couple times, but we are going to get it together at some point. This is the special edition of the division prediction episode of the Fast Count, in which we are going to go through and choose our winners and losers of each division of the NFL. Normally, our fast count will be for fantasy players each week, but we're going to let one week go by before we get into that. So without further ado, we're going to go into our AFC and NFC division winner predictions for the year of 2018. And let's start off with the AFC East. Big Tex, you got the Bills, the Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Jets. Who you got taking this division this year?
Oh, the Patriots, man. It's got to be the Patriots. The Bills are in shambles. The Dolphins are kind of getting it together, but they've always just been a middle-of-the-road team. It's got to be the Patriots. Got to be the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Jets are – I think Sam Darnold will do something, but I'm not really sure what. So, yeah.
I don't see – again, everybody talks every year – about who's that next team that's going to step up and compete with the Patriots in the AFC East. And every year, it seems like every other team in that division falls by the wayside again. Right. I'm with you. I don't think anybody's caught up to the Patriots. Until Bill Belichick and Tom Brady both leave New England, I think that AFC East is that New England Patriots division to keep.
Not necessarily, though. I think it's like maybe – two or three free agency moves on like the Dolphins, probably like two or three free agency moves in key places. And they might be able to hold a candle to them. The Jets just seem like they're way too far off. They don't have enough weapons. Like they just seem like the bad news bears of football. You know what I'm saying? Like that. I don't know what it is, man. They just don't seem like they're ever prepared.
They might take the place of the Browns for one of the the NFL this year.
They might have.
Speaking of the Browns, we're going to move to the first of all, before I go on, Big Tex and Bully Ryan are both choosing New England. to win the AFC East. But like I said, speaking of the Browns, we're going to move to the AFC North. The Baltimore Ravens, Cincinnati Bengals, Cleveland Browns, and Pittsburgh Steelers. I am going to start off this prediction and say that we are going to get, and this isn't a very much of a hot tag, but I've got the Steelers winning the winning this division with or without Le'Veon Bell. I think the Cleveland Browns are going to make the biggest jump in this division with all the offseason signings and draft picks that they made. I honestly think we're going to see the Bengals and the Ravens both just be absolutely abysmal this year, just because I think it's the year that we see Joe Flacco lose the reins of Baltimore, and I think this is the year we see Marvin Lewis leave Cincinnati. Big Tex, I've got the Steelers. Who you got taking the division this year?
The Browns.
Ooh.
I'm taking the Browns. And I will make this super short. The reason why I think that it's the Browns is because I feel like that the Steelers are going to have a better record, but I think the Browns are going to win the division because the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger has this bad thing about playing to the defense he's playing against. If the defense is bad, he plays bad so the defense looks good. So what I'm thinking is that the Steelers will have a better record than the Browns. The Browns will win the division. I think I think the Steelers and the Bengals are going to be about the same, but I think the Bengals still need something. They need, if Joe Mixon goes off, it might be the Bengals above the Steelers. I don't see the Steelers going that far this year for some reason, but I still feel like that they're going to put up the points that they need to. I don't know, man. It's real hard to look at the Browns at that offense and at the defense and just go, these guys aren't going to be anything in this division. I think they have a chance of winning that division. And I think they have a chance of winning it hands down. And Baltimore will be the worst team in this division. Shout out to Alex Collins, though. You're probably going to carry me to a championship.
Well, at the end of the day, I just think that the Browns are going to do Browns things. I think they could win 8 games this year, but I don't see them surpassing the Steelers. However, Big Tex is taking the Browns, and Bully Rye is taking the Steelers to win the AFC North. Next up in the AFC, we've got the AFC South between the Texans, Colts, Jags, and Titans. Big Tex, who do you think is going to take the AFC South this year?
Jaguars.
Taking the Jags. And why are you taking the Jags?
I mean, it's that defense, bro. They are stacked upon stacked. And to be honest with you, the offense, even losing Marquise Lee, who did they have at wide receiver last year? Nobody. So they got nobody this year too. So I honestly truly think that they're going to lead on Leonard Fournette, who's lost some weight. They have a very, 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 very solid backup in TJ Yeldon, who has gotten better every season. But I mean, when you have a talent like Leonard Fournette, he deserves to be behind him. But he's serviceable. Leonard Fournette has any problems, he'll be able to step in and take over.
I just don't think the Colts are gonna be
super spectacular, but I don't see any of those teams holding a candle to the Jags.
I'm gonna respectfully disagree. I think we're gonna see this is gonna be the year that the Texans finally put it together. They've got J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus both back again this coming season. Both went out with season-ending injuries. Last year in the same game, they lost their rookie sensation quarterback, Deshaun Watson, in week 7 last year. They were just plagued by injuries. We finally got to see a healthy Jadeveon Clowney put together a pretty strong season on defense. When you have Jadeveon Clowney, you have Whitney Mercilus, you have J.J. Watt. They signed Tyrann Mathieu to help out in the secondary, along with an already solidified veteran defensive back in Jonathan Joseph. I think this is the year the Texans put it together. I don't think they're going to run away with the division. I think it's going to be close. I still see Jacksonville as a wild card team. I've got Houston winning the division. I think the Colts are going to be better this year as long as Andrew Luck can stay on the field. The Titans, I know last year, struggled with Marcus Mariota's injury that he kind of kept under wraps and just played hurt most of the year.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm going to need you to show your work, brother. I'm going to need you to show your work. How could you say think that the Jaguars, who were in the AFC Championship game last year, how do you think that they're only going to be a wild card team this year?
Because if they don't win the division, by definition, if they make the playoffs, then they're a wild card team.
You can't tell me that when the do you think that Houston is going to sweep Jacksonville or split?
They could very easily split. I told you it was going to come down to the wire, but the Texans were going to pull it off.
No, so, man, I can't.
Yeah, we'll see. You've got the Jags. I've got the Texans. So it'll be interesting to see, especially because that seems like we're going to have a really hard difference of opinion there.
I think we need to add this to the card because I think that we need to figure out who has a better record between the two.
All right. So I will say the Texans have a better record at the end of the season than Jacksonville.
I will say that Jacksonville has a better record than Houston is.
Add it to the card.
Add it to the card, brother.
So we will add that to our card. But before we go on, before we add that to the card, we've got one more division in the AFC we need to break down between the Broncos, Chiefs, the Chargers of Los Angeles, and the Raiders of Oakland. Big Tex, I'm going to let you start off here again. Who do you have winning this division, and tell us why?
I think this is the year that San Diego puts it together. I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. Los Angeles Chargers. My bad.
You're good, man.
Yes, I think this is the year that the Los Angeles Chargers puts it together. I think that Melvin Gordon training with Adrian Peterson the last two summers has changed him as a runner. He looks stronger. Although he still has toothpicks for legs, he looks a lot stronger. And watching him play and seeing him slowly but surely understand the game better, that man is going to have a monster season this year. I think Austin Eckler behind him is going to make some plays too. But I just – Phillip, although he lost Hunter Henry, and I really hate that he did, look at how many weapons he has. He has a slew of receivers. He just got Antonio Gates back. And Antonio Gates is going to do nothing but come in and catch 4 and 5 yard touchdowns, kind of like what Jimmy Graham did for Seattle last year. That is exactly what Antonio Gates is going to do. Because one thing Phillip knows is he can close his eyes and he can throw the ball. And Antonio Gates is going to catch the ball. Sorry, I clapped. I apologize if I was too loud. It's just money. You know what I'm saying? It's just money. I think the Chiefs are going to look good, but I think the Chiefs are going to lose because the Chiefs' defense is abysmal. It is horrible. Eric Berry is the only dude that is left that has any type of say of what's going on, and he's hurt too. So it's just, man, oh, man, the Chargers.
So it's – you know, you've
go
sold
Chargers,
me.
Chargers, go.
You just sold me on the Chargers. I for all the same reasons.
And I didn't even say anything about their defense. Oh
no, and they've got a stacked defense, a lot of pass rushers on that team, a pretty decent secondary. I look at the rest of that division, I still think the Broncos are a few years away from being able to put any kind of championship caliber team on the field. I look at the Raiders. I know we talk about Amari Cooper and Derek Carr. I know we talk about John Gruden going to Oakland. Oakland's got a chance to turn some heads this year. I just don't see Oakland being a championship contender this year. I'll take the Chargers to win the division Kansas City taking the second wild card in the AFC.
Yeah, and I hate it. I hate it for the Raiders. I just want to add to what you're saying. I hate it for the Raiders, but they signed John Gruden to a 10-year contract.
Yep. So
you might as well expect the first, like, 2 or 3 years to be – ugh, until he gets the people he wants. So don't trip too much on that. They're probably going to be at the bottom of the division again. But there was one other thing I was about to say, and then I just forgot it.
I think Kansas City, you're going to see Kansas City, even though they're switching to a new quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, they've got a lot of returning talent and Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Spencer Ware coming back from injury, but also seeing what Kareem Hunt broke out doing last year. That's why I took Kansas City to finish second in the division and be my other AFC
wild card. You know what? They very well could finish first just because of their offense and how many points they could put up. Because you, like you said, Spencer Ware is just as good as Kareem Hunt is. He was just as explosive in that offense. And if Spencer Ware can come back healthy, of course, Kareem Hunt is better than him now. He is the dude that should be starting. But when he comes out and Spencer Ware steps in, there is no change in your game plan. He's going to be just as dangerous. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Teams will sleep on them. And that's, I think they might be the sleeper. They might be the sleeper in this division. But one other thing I wanted to say, and this is what I forgot earlier. I'll go real fast. It seems like that all the coaches in Los Angeles, the Rams, and also the Chargers, they all sat down and said, listen, let's bring all the best defensive players to Los Angeles right now. Because if you look at their defenses and look at how stacked they are in the exact same place, in the exact same city. You can't tell me that they didn't, you know, kind of like talk together and go, stack your defense. That's the way you win. Stack it.
So for the AFC, Bully Ryan's got New England, the Chargers, Steelers, and Texans with KC and Jacksonville as his wild card teams. Big Tex, you've got New England, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Jacksonville winning your divisions. Did you want to put your wild card teams in the hat, or do you want to go ahead and watch the NFC?
I think that when it comes to wild card teams in the AFC, I think that it will 9 times out of 10 be who you've been pushing. I think that it'll be Kansas City, and I think that it'll be Houston.
I think
that Deshaun Watson is gonna like. Please, and everybody that's listening, please don't get upset with us about this. You know. I love football, and there's nothing more that I want to see than Deshaun Watson go and make a whole bunch of people look stupid. There's nothing more that I want to see than that. There's nothing more I want to see than Patrick Mahomes look good and do well. But, God, those Chargers.
Well, we've got all the same playoff teams except for the Browns and Steelers in the AFC.
Look out for the Browns.
And with our second section of our fast count, where we are going to choose our division winners and wild card teams for the NFC. Willie Ryan, Big Tech's back with you here again. Once again, you can follow us on Twitter at BRBT Podcast. That's at BRBT Podcast. Big Tech,
come and see us.
We're going to start off with the NFC East, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, and the Washington Redskins. Big Tex, who you got taking the NFC East, and give us why.
Eli Manning and the New York Football Giants.
You got the Giants taking the NFC East. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Their offensive line has improved a ton, and I know a lot of people have been knocking on Nate Solder about him not really being as good and as, you know, worth the money that they're spending on him. But I'm here to tell you, watching the preseason and watching them block for Eli Manning, he literally could put up a 10-person tent, lay down in the middle of it, take a nap, and then come out and throw a football. Like, they literally are giving him such a solid pocket. And then with the weapons that he has, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, he's got Odell Beckham Jr., he's got Saquon Barkley, and like, they just have so much talent. Their defense has become so much better over the past couple of years, stronger against the run than the pass. So Eli has to throw the ball more. Well, he has the slower receivers. Makes sense. The team is built to, you know, withstand that type of punishment. So I honestly think that, you know, Alex Smith is going to do great things in Washington. They will 9 times out of 10 be a wild card team. But other than that, Philadelphia, I see them just imploding.
Ooh.
Imploding. Like, for some reason, honestly and truly, I think that they're going to come out tonight, and I think that Atlanta is going to shellack them. I think they're going to get shellacked. And I'm going to be excited to watch football. They'll probably make some big plays, and they'll probably look like they're in the game for a little while. But I'm telling you, man, hands down, Atlanta's going to kill them tonight. Sorry, I just
– Well, no, well, you got a little ahead of the game because that's one of the games we're going to pick.
Sorry.
We'll revisit that because I'll agree with you that I think Atlanta wins tonight. But I still think Philadelphia gets to put it together by the end of the season and take the NFC East. I just see them getting Carson Wentz back.
But when, though? When do you think that Carson will be back?
I get the feeling that Carson Wentz will be back by the end of the first month of the season. And I think Philadelphia can finish the first month of the season 2-2. I think they're going to be in good shape. I know you just talked a lot of good stuff about the Giants. I don't think the Giants are going to be terrible this year, but I don't see them making the playoffs, and we'll get into that when we go into my wild card teams. However, I the Dallas Cowboys are probably going to be the worst team in this division. Without a key number one receiver. I know they're trying to talk about Terrence Williams, or they're talking about Michael Gallup.
And to be honest, and not to cut you off, but I kind of am. I apologize for interrupting you. But to be honest with you, though, like the way that it sounds, though, is you kind of don't feel completely convicted like I do. Like,
no,
it sounds like that the teams right. are – it seems like that if all of them went 7-9, I'd be completely cool with it. Like, they all seem like that they could all underachieve and overachieve at the same time.
Yeah, and I just – I'm going safe and taking the Eagles because they are the defending Super Bowl champions. I think the Redskins are going to be a lot better than people might think this year.
Me too.
I really think Adrian Peterson's got a lot left in the tank. Even though he's old in the scheme of running backs, I've got the Eagles taking the division only because I'm, like you said, I'm not really sold on anyone else.
And AP didn't look old last year. He did not look old.
No.
AP hurt his neck. He hurt his neck. So, you know, these people that are like, oh my God, you know, blah, 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 blah. His legs are fresh, you know?
And he didn't get a fair shake in New Orleans to begin with.
Not at
all. To our next division, which is the NFC South. Obviously, division with the Falcons, the Panthers, the Saints, and the Bucks. Big Tech, I'm going to start this one off. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the New Orleans Saints are going to win the NFC South for no other reason. And I just think that even with Mark Ingram's suspension, I think they're the most balanced team in this division. You haven't really heard a lot about the Saints in the offseason like you have with the Falcons and their issue with Julio Jones, the Panthers and the drama between Kelvin Benjamin and Cam Newton and DJ Moore's reckless driving ticket. The Bucks. The Saints having it together, not just on the football field, but off the field, the fewer distractions, the fewer things to worry about. I've got the same thing.
Okay, it sounds like we're having a little bit of technical difficulty because I'm barely understanding what you're saying right now, brother.
Okay, so long story short, and we can edit this as well. I've taken the Saints for no other reason than the fewer distractions. Gotcha. And just overall talent across the field. Big Tech, are you taking with the NFC South?
I think that the Saints pick is a strong pick. I think that it's a solid pick. However, I think that I'm going to go. Man, I hate to do this, but honestly, truly, I don't think that I can bet against Cam this year. I for some reason, it feels like that the Panthers are starting to get to the offense that they want to run and that they were hampered by certain positions and certain positional players. Kelvin Benjamin. I'm sorry. I meant to call, but his name came out anyway. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it feels like because most of the receivers that he has had over the years have been these great receivers by numbers, by size, by speed, by blah, 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 blah. But they're always dropping the ball and not catching the ball when it's delivered. I know Cam throws hard football. I know most of the time he's not accurate as he needs to be. But he's been like a top five quarterback multiple times. You know what I'm saying? He's the NFL MVP just a couple years ago. Like, the man knows what he's doing. I feel Drew Brees and I feel the Saints being really strong. But I feel like that there is something that is going on with that Saints, that I feel like that they're going to try to overwork Alvin Kamara and get that man hurt before Mark Ingram comes back.
We will agree to disagree. You have got the Panthers. I've got the Saints. And for no other reason, you know, we'll just move on from there. I mean, I don't think there's really much more to talk about between the Bucks and the Falcons.
I got something else to say.
Go ahead.
I'm taking a moment to gather my thoughts just to make sure I don't say it the wrong way and I don't say anything bad.
Okay.
I'm a Buccaneers fan, and I'm absolutely, absolutely sick and tired of Jameis Winston running around like he's a 12-year-old boy and not trying to keep his head on straight. He is always getting caught up in something stupid, something petty, and something that has nothing to do with the football field. He could be a top five quarterback in the league in probably about 4 or 5 years if he really takes his time and puts his head together and stops acting like a clown. He puts up massive numbers. Massive numbers. His defense isn't going to stop anybody, so he knows he's going to throw the ball. Focus on throwing a tight spiral. Try not to focus on partying and getting caught up in all this extra nonsense. You did that stuff at Florida State. You are in the NFL, and you are a professional. Get your head out of your keister and start doing what you need to do to lead your team to a championship. Because these kids and these players that are around you are starting to get tired of your childish nonsense that you're getting caught up in. That's all I'm going to say.
No, and in the opposite scheme of things, it'll take us to the next division in the NFC. You know, you talk about the unprofessionalism from Jameis Winston. You get the exact opposite from at least two of the quarterbacks in the NFC North, which is the division we're going to choose next, between the Bears, Lions, Packers, and Vikings. As much as it pains me to do it, I am going to be a homer, and I'm going to take the Detroit Lions to win the NFC North. I almost chose the Packers, but I feel like, again, the Lions are going to have the right leadership from a coaching standpoint to bring in the majority of their offensive talent back. They signed and drafted Kerryon Johnson. They got themselves a brawler or a bruiser to be able to run those goal line runs and Garrett Blunt. I think the defense is underrated from a certain perspective. And saying that, I feel the NFC North is going to be the toughest division in all of football this year. Between the Vikings and their firepower and their strong defense, the Packers' firepower, and the Bears' strong defense. I mean, the Bears, we talked about it on our last show with Khalil Mack signing with Chicago. Chicago just revamped their entire defense. I think we're going to, you know, I think, and this is just my opinion, I think we're going to see three teams out of the NFC North make the postseason. I think we're going to see the Lions as the NFC champion, the NFC North champion. And I think we're going to see the Vikings and the Packers as our wild card. Big Tex, he got taken.
Okay. The Lions is a solid pick for the reasons that you explained. It makes sense. Their defense has a lot of question marks, but their DBs are stellar. So, I think that's a good pick with the Lions. However, is it just me or all of us that love Aaron Rodgers to death? Is he not like the perennial wild card quarterback? Like, let's think about the Packers. The Packers, although they have Aaron Rodgers, they are wild card teams more than any other time that they've been in the playoffs.
Because they don't have a defense.
Because they never had a defense.
Nope.
So, I can't sit here and say that the Packers are going to win the division. So they're out. The defense that the Vikings have is fantastic. I don't think that there's a way that the Vikings could not win this division. It just seems so strong. When it comes to the Lions, I think the Lions will probably be a wild card team. I think the Packers will be a wild card team. But honestly and truly, I don't know if it's ever happened, but I could see all four of these teams from this division in the playoffs.
Too bad. Unfortunately, you won't be able to, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I know. All these teams have talent.
And the problem is that I would be completely comfortable watching either one of them in the playoffs. I literally feel that way about this whole division. Kirk Cousins will come in And I think he's going to make that offense hum. I think it's going to look good. I think that Aaron Rodgers, as long as he's upright, is going to make this team go to the playoffs this year. I think that the Bears have done everything in their power, monetarily and contractually or whatever you want to say. They've done everything in their power to make their team better, and they have this year. If Mitchell Trubisky can come in with his head on straight, the Bears is a team to watch.
So, but you're like, but at the end of the day, you're taking the Vikings.
I got to take the Vikings. There's no way that the Vikings cannot will. There's no way that they will not win this division unless somebody gets hurt.
And you've got the Lions and the Packers out of the North making the postseason of the wild card teams.
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir.
All right. Then we are down to our last division to choose, and that would be the NFC West. Between the Cardinals, the Rams, the Niners, and the Seahawks. I'm going to let you start it off because I got a good idea of who you're going to take to win the NFC West, Big Tex.
It has to be the Los Angeles Rams, man.
Yep, that's who I had you down for. Any particular reason as to why you think the Rams are going to go above
the Because the Seahawks are a bust. The 49ers paid for a bust. And got a bust, and I hate that he got hurt, but he was a bust when he started. And then that's all I can do. I can just put my hands up. All I can do is put my hands up. Like
call the Cardinals, me crazy.
They don't know what's going on. But I think that people are sleeping on the Cardinals, man. People are sleeping on the Cardinals because think about this. Sam Bradford, when healthy, is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I think Arizona will be the best team in the NFL to not make the playoffs again this year. I've got the Seahawks winning this division because despite Doug Baldwin's bad knee that he's going to be dealing with all year, I think we're going to see a much more running-based offense from the Seahawks, similar to what we did with Marshawn Lynch a few years ago.
They going to run with, though?
They don't. It doesn't have to be one person or another. Rashad Penny's going to get healthy, and they're going to be able to run a two-headed monster in the backfield. And we're going to see Carolina Panthers, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart.
Russell Wilson will be the lead rusher of the Seattle Seahawks if Doug Baldwin gets hurt.
I'm telling you, I don't have confidence in San Francisco yet. I think that the Rams are going to take a step back. I think they had a miraculous season last year. I think they're going to come a little back down to earth this year, even with the addition of Brandon Cooks, with the offensive adjustments they've made with that team. I see them coming back down to earth because I don't see them being as
offensively.
I'm with you on that.
Look at that defensive line, though, man, for the Rams. God, Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh on the same line. Oh, my God, man.
But, again, I'm going to take the Seahawks to win the NFC West. So in the NFC, you and I – or in the NFC, I'll go with Bully Rise picks first, the Eagles, Seahawks, Lions, Saints with the Packers and Vikings as wild cards. Big Tex, you've got the Giants, Rams, Vikings, and Panthers with Lions and Packers as our wild card team. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we are going to review our college picks we made last week, and we are going to pick five games from both college and pros to pick on this coming weekend. So stick around. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the final segment of the day, the podcast pick'ems. Last week, Big Tex and Bully Rye chose 10 college football games to make picks for. Bully Rye went 8-2. Big Tex, you went 6-4. Your big losses were Tennessee over West Virginia, and then Louisville not taking out Alabama. So this week, we go since the NFL season is starting. We are going to go through five college games and five pro games that we're going to pick from. Big Tex, are you ready to make your podcast picks for week two?
Bro, you know I am. Let's do it.
All right. So we'll start off in college. I mentioned earlier in the show, Iowa State was rained out last week. They will travel to Iowa to take on their in-state rival, Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa State at Iowa Big Techs. You probably don't know a lot about either of the two teams, as neither do I. So who are you taking? You got Iowa or Iowa State?
I think in this one, I like rivalry games. I like in-state games. I like especially when it's state versus the university. Those games always have so much more pageantry. I will take the Iowa State.
Cyclone.
I'll take the Cyclones, yeah. I almost said Buckeyes, because in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know what, I might want the Buckeyes, but no, I'll take Iowa State. Iowa State.
I am going to go the other way and take Iowa. I like Iowa at home. I think that the new tradition they started, I guess it was last year or the year before, at the end of the first quarter, they turn around and wave at the Children's Hospital. Like I said, at the end of the first quarter, I think it adds a sense of, you know, just mutual, just warm and fuzzy feelings, I guess. It adds a little bit of, you know, pizzazz or whatever you want to call it. To Iowa's, you know, emotions during the game. So I'm going to take Iowa. The next game, I figured we can go, since it's your team, and they kind of didn't show up last week.
We're going to go with Tulsa.
With Tulsa at Texas. I am going to take Texas only because I like to see them bounce back. Big Tex, I got a feeling you're going to go Texas, but I'm going to let you say it anyway.
Come on, man. You can't roll on my team like that, man. They showed up, man. They just got rained out, and it messed up what was going on. It messed up the juice because they started coming back. But, yeah, I'm going to take Texas. Tulsa is a pretty good team. I used to go to a school there in Spartan School of Aeronautics in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, you know, shout out to the Tulsa University down there. So, really hate to see y'all lose to Texas, but yeah, Texas is going to pull this one out.
All right. Another, we've got a top ranked or top 15 game between Stanford and Southern Cal. Southern Cal coming off of, I believe, a big win last week. Stanford struggled but beat San Diego State last week. Big Tex, who are you going to take, Stanford or Southern Cal?
Southern Cal just isn't the team they used to be. I'm going to take Stanford.
I will join you in taking Stanford. Next up, we've got Clemson at Texas A&M. Clemson, again, we talked about them earlier in the show, beat up on Furman last week. Texas A&M had an earlier game last week, but they had a running back, Travion Williams, bust out for a huge game. But I still don't think they had the firepower to beat Clemson. I'm going to take Clemson, Big Tex. Who you got, Clemson or Texas A&M?
Golly, Dabo knows how to get his people up. Clemson, you know, knows how to jump out on people. But he is working a two-quarterback system. And every once in a while, those quarterbacks trip up. Texas A&M for the win.
You're taking Texas A&M over Clemson. I like it. I like it a lot because you know how I feel about Clemson. The last game we are going to pick are my South Carolina Gamecocks, ranked 24th in the AP poll. It's the first time we've been ranked since 2014, hosting the number 3 Georgia Bulldogs. Big Tex, I'm going to let you pick this game first as well. I kind of know the direction you're going to head in, but we're going to go ahead and let you say it for the record.
Shout out to Will Muschamp. You're my homie. But I think that the Dogs are going to beat the Cats.
You know, as much as I'd like to say South Carolina is going to win, in my heart of hearts, I think deep down Georgia is going to take it. But for the sake of our pick, I am not going to choose, and I'm going to do the same thing I did picking the Lions to win the North. Be I am taking South Carolina in the upset against Georgia on Saturday.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is no bigger homer than Mr. Bully Rye over there. I just want to let y'all know.
Absolutely right, and he is not telling a lie. So we're going to go over to the NFL now. Big Tex, you already talked about this game earlier in their broadcast. Thursday night game that plays.
Whoa, hold on, time out. I'm watching NFL Network right now. Le'Veon Bell just tweeted 9918 ... I can't wait, and it was / just be patient.
So it sounds like he's talking about showing up on Sunday, but he's I don't see him playing on Sunday. So breaking news, Le'Veon Bell tweets about September 9th. So stay tuned to see what that means. As for the podcast pick'ems go, we've got the Thursday night game again, Atlanta at Philadelphia. Big Tex, you already mentioned it earlier, but why don't you go ahead and state it again. Who do you think is going to take the Thursday night game?
Oh, man. We're talking. Oh, geez.
Yeah, the Falcons and the Eagles.
You said earlier. I know. I just want to say, okay, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
I keep stopping myself from saying it. Okay. I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to win tonight. It just seems like, and I don't think it's going to be a superstar that's going to make this game big. I think it's going to be somebody the likes of like Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu. Shout out to Nelson Aguilar. He's going to be the number one tonight. He might turn up tonight. Just to let everyone know. I want to see how the backfield shakes out from Philadelphia. But I feel like all in all, Atlanta's defense is quietly solid too. This might actually be a defensive game rather than an offensive game. So, but I don't know, man. I just can't pick. I think that Super Bowl slump is just going to eat Philadelphia alive. And I think that Atlanta's going to take advantage of it.
I think the injuries are going to take their toll for the week one for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I've got the Falcons winning as well. The second game we were going to pick, you talked about the Browns winning the AFC North. I had the Steelers winning the AFC North. Well, they play each other this week, the Steelers at the Browns, and I'm going to go right off the bat, and I'm going to take the Steelers to take this game. Big Tex, are you taking the Steelers or the Browns?
Honestly and truly, I think I'm going to take the Browns. I think that the Browns are going to jump. I think the Browns are going to jump on top of the Steelers, like right off the bat. It's going to seem crazy. Everybody's going to be like, where the heck did these Browns come from? Oh, man, they're doing this, they're doing that. Oh, my goodness, they're doing this, they're doing that. You know, and I honestly and truly think that they are going to just blindside them. And nobody's going to be prepared for how strong and how smooth the Browns' offense looks. And with Josh Gordon coming back, Josh Gordon came back at the exact right time. No, he may not be starting, but starting means one play. Everyone, listen. To be a starter on an NFL team, you just have to be on the field for the very first play. That means nothing. Nothing.
All right, so you're taking the Browns, and I've got the Steelers.
Yes, sir.
The next game up, we've got the Cowboys at the Panthers. I'm going to go ahead and just, for the sake of time, just give you my pick, and I've got the Panthers only because I just don't think the Cowboys are going to be that good this year, and I think the Panthers are going to be able to start off at home 1-0. Big Tex, who are you taking in this game?
I'm with you. Completely agree. I think the Panthers are too much for the Cowboys.
All right, so we're both taking the Panthers. The next game, I figure we'll go ahead and take a shot with your NFL team, the Bucks and the Saints at Tampa Bay. Big Tex, who you taking, the Bucks or the Saints?
Man, I have to take the Saints, man. There's just the Bucks are in disarray. Although I think Fitzmagic will be able to come in and do some good things. I think Peyton Barber is going to be solid. I don't know, man. The Saints are just way too overpowered, it seems. And for our defense, our DBs are not good at all. So Drew Brees is probably – I know they want to run the ball, but Brees will probably throw for about 300.
Well, I am going to take the Saints partially because of what you said, and I don't think they're going to be able to have that offensive magic.
I'm sorry, y'all.
I don't think the Bucks are going to be able to have that magic. Without Jameis Winston in at quarterback. Final game to pick, one of the Monday night game doubleheaders, the Lions at the Jets. I'm going to be a homer again and take the Lions only because I don't think the Jets are that good. And I think the Lions are going to be a surprise team this year. Big Tex, who you take as the Lions or the Jets?
It has to be the Lions.
Taking the Lions. Lions over the Jets.
Yeah, man, the Jets, they're not ready yet. Sam Darnold's going to show some flashes, but I mean, don't be surprised if Josh McCown ends up in this game.
Well, I'm just saying. That was a good time to end it and finish up our pick'em for this week. We didn't, however, go back after we made our division predictions and choose our Super Bowl game predictions. So, Big Tex, tell me your prediction for the Super Bowl this coming season.
I would say that I have the Jacksonville Jaguars going against the Los Angeles Rams.
Jacksonville versus the Rams.
I think the Jacksonville and the Rams. I just feel like the defense is key. And there's only a handful of really good defenses. And I think that that's what we need to consider. Stop chewing on my phone cord. Sorry. My puppy's trying to pull my phone off the table.
I'm going to go somewhat of a different way. I am going to choose the Vikings to represent the NFC, and I'm going to have them playing the Chargers of Los Angeles. So it'll be interesting to see how far either one of those teams go.
Oh yeah.
So that has been our podcast pick'em and the finishing of our division prediction show. I'm going to close the show in a little more of a solemn note. In our first ever segment called The Finisher. And The Finisher, I want to take a quick moment to have everyone please send their thoughts and prayers to my family. My Aunt Sarah passed away late last evening. My mom is one of five children, and it was her oldest sister who passed away last night. She is survived by her two children, Kevin and Lee, and her husband of, I believe he said last yesterday when I saw him, 53 years, Uncle Roby. So please keep the Kaiser and Hannah family in your thoughts and prayers. So thank you for allowing me the time to send that message out to everyone. Beyond that, everyone, please enjoy week two of college football and week one of the NFL. Big Tex, you got anything to add before we sign off?
Honestly, thank you everyone for listening, and my prayers go out.
Thank you so much, everyone. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we will see you soon. And if you're not down with that, we've got two words for you. What?